It's a miracle. Maybe you already have observed it, even when you were a small child. You took a jar, filled it partially with dirt, and then put in a bean close to the edge of the glass, watered it, and waited, and waited, and waited. Eventually, the bean began to sprout. And as you waited even longer, it made its way to the top of the dirt and broke through the soil. And then you could begin to see a plant begin to form. If you waited long enough, the plant began to have a pod on it, or pods, because more beans were beginning to grow. Some of you here today know far more probably about farming and gardening than I ever will. And I'll not pretend to be an expert in that regard. I will submit, however, that without God, the God-wrought miracle of germination, there would be no wheat or feed, food or flour, or corn for grain or the grocery bin. And nothing else that makes farmers farmers or gardeners gardeners. So now you, or at least most of you in the chapel today, are hoping to be pastors, missionaries, teachers, and preachers of God's word, spiritual farmers and gardeners. The message of the gospel for today is, we sow, God makes it grow. Our text is one of a number of parables told by our Lord and Savior. It's similar to the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the sower we heard a couple of days ago, and the parable of the tares. This parable, however, is one that ought to humble us and yet give us great confidence. Look at how the master teacher removes the seed sower from taking any credit for what happens once the seed has been sown. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Doesn't seem to matter what the farmer does. He can work hard at slopping the pigs, or he can lie awake at night and wonder and worry about whether the seed he has sown is actually going to grow, but it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to do anything else. The seed grows automatically, as it were. Not only that, Jesus tells us that while the seed sprouts and grows, it does that in spite of the fact that the seed sower does not know how. Well, today, our horticultural experts may be able to tell us a little bit more about the miracle of germination than the farmers back then knew about it. However, none of our theological experts today are able to explain the mystery of how the Word works. The only thing we can say is, we sow, God makes it grow. That can make us feel rather helpless, and I think it should. None of us should give ourselves credit for what God alone is able to do. Neither our earned nor honorary doctor's degree is going to speed the process or make it work more efficiently. The success we may have had in a former field of endeavor, or the rank we may have had in the military, or the high office we held in our local congregation, or whatever gifts, talents, or honors we may have brought before preparing for the ministry, None will help to do what in this instance must be left for God to do. Having done all, it's all up to God. Thank God for that, my sons and brothers. Thank God for that. For knowing this, you can sow God's truth with great, great confidence. You have a greater guarantee in this calling of pastoral ministry than anyone in any other vocation can have. In what other line of work or business could one have the kind of guarantee or promise that God gives through Isaiah? So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Who but an ambassador of Christ, like the Apostle Paul, could say so humbly and yet so confidently, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God made it grow. Yes, we sow, but God makes it grow. Don't worry, and don't lose sleep at night if you don't see these miracles happening like you did with the bean in the jar. Trust God that the word is working. Tell the little children that Jesus loves them. Let those sinners seated before you know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from all sin. Be ready to go to the Ninevehs of the world and preach the law in all its severity and the gospel in all its sweetness. And once we have preached, once we have taught the word, we can go on to other things in our ministry. And whether we sleep or get up, the mighty word is being used by God for His purposes. We may never know how it has affected the people in our congregation to the extent that it does, and it's probably best that we don't at the time, for we might begin to take credit for it. It may be that when you finally leave a congregation, someone or some people will come up to you and say, Pastor, you remember that sermon you preached about death or about the resurrection or about baptism? It really had an impression upon me and it really changed my life. We sow, and God makes it grow. And this process will continue until harvest time, until Jesus comes again. And on that day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then what God desired will have been accomplished, and the purpose for which He sent His word will have been achieved. Sometimes we wish we could see what is happening. Sometimes we are inclined to become discouraged and wonder what good we are doing. And that's why we ourselves need to stay close to the word. Let it sink into the soil of our own hearts. And then believe God's promises and assurances such as He gives here in this parable. And then sow, for God will make it grow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.